All right. Well, there is a word in the house for those that are present and those online. I checked the feed this morning. We have quite a few, little bit of people online this morning, and so thank God for that. And God is faithful in what he's doing, and in his presence there is joy. Amen. Interesting text this morning. It's not what it looks like. When you read that text, Don, what does that mean to you? It's not what it, what about you, Elder Ron? I mean, I know we can get ahead of God. We can get ahead of God. We can think we heard from God, or think that that's what he wants us to do, or, you know, and the biggest factor that causes doubt to come in and causes struggles to come in is fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what if I do this, what if I do this, but as I was praying this week and looking at some things and being overwhelmed, and hopefully my end is coming soon with my job, I'll be able to slow down hopefully soon. We also have to realize that God don't make mistakes. He's perfect in everything that he does. And so we're going to go to the old. Can you click on the first slide for me, somebody? Somebody jump up, Josh. Click on the first slide for me so I can take control of it after that. I was reading in the Word this week, and I was thinking about this text. I got it. There it goes. I got it. Thank you. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 31, so they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid, not a kid, but back in the day a kid was a lamb. Okay, let's got to read Bible terms. Amen, Anita. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, baby, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Now watch this. Sent the tunic, or his clothes, coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" Now this is Joseph, coat of many colors. And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without a doubt, Joseph," watch this church, "is torn into pieces." Now watch this. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and he mourned for his son for many days. Now, in order to comprehend the entire text or what this is about, this was actually not what happened. Later on down in the book of Genesis, we find that Joseph eventually was sold into slavery, eventually became a king, eventually became a ruler, and some years later, his brothers didn't even realize who he was as he became an adult and became a ruler, that they sold him into slavery because they were jealous of Joseph's anointing. Someone say, people will be jealous of what God is doing for you. So the reason why I said it's not always what it looks like, now the Holy Ghost has convicted me. This right here, Don, is not always what it looks like. Exactly. Don't say a word. You back there too. That's why God gave me this word. You see, we have a tendency to look like where it is now instead of where it's going. See, Joseph eventually, watch this church, became a mighty man of valor and a mighty man of prestige and a mighty man with lots of ruling over the people and became very intelligent, very smart. But as a young man, what I want you to understand is as a young man, God's anointing was already on Joseph. And so God already watched his church. God already had a plan for Joseph at a very early age in his life. And so what they wanted to do, his brothers, they wanted to make it look like that he was dead so the father would give the blessing to one of the other sons. Years later, as we know the story, if you want to look it up yourself, Joseph became, like I told you earlier, he became a mighty ruler, became an awesome man of God, and even to the fact that when his brothers came to him, they didn't recognize who he was until he told them. He said, I'm your brother, the one you sold into slavery years ago. And later on, it's told that Joseph didn't even punish them. He actually blessed them. So look at your neighbor and say, it's not always what it looks like. Satan is the master illusionist or magician. We've heard of David Copperfield, we've heard of David Blaine, we've heard of Chris Angel, and then the original magician, excuse me, was Lucifer. So I looked at something up. Illusionist, major in the art of optical illusions. They divert your attention away from what's really happening, getting you distracted so they can implement their smoke and mirrors tricks. And when you look back at what you thought was real, it appears to be something different altogether. So in other words, Satan, this morning, could say that to us. Nobody's coming to church. Can't get nobody to church. What's the point? And I'm reminded this morning that there was a scripture in the Bible where Jesus said, I leave the 99 to go after the one. You see, the illusion is for Satan to tell us that we're not going to make it. He will bring before you everything that is bad and negative instead of what can happen and finding a way out. And so he'll put bills on you. He'll put distress on you. He'll put problems on you just to divert you, watch this, from God's ultimate plan. He is the master, watch this, church. He is the master of the sleight of hand. And we got to ask ourselves a question. What does Satan really specialize in? Lies. He is the accuser of the brethren. I feel good this morning. I'm hot, but I feel good this morning, so I'm about to preach out of my mind. He is the master of manipulation. And guess what? Satan will use the closest people to you to discourage you. He will use family, friends, co-workers, people close to you, just to get you to believe the lies about you that's not true. Come on, somebody. His illusion is to say that you're not going to make it. And I got to get you a revelation this morning. If he can get you away from church, whether you're online or not, this is where you need to be, because the Bible says there are strength in numbers. Do not forsake ourselves gathering together. And so, you know, some people get comfortable. Come on, somebody. We all have come to a place in our life at times that we feel like just giving up. Someone said, I've been there. God, what's the point? It's not changing. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. But once again, look at this part right here, guys. It says, getting you what? Distracted. Name off some distractions. What's a distraction, Anita? Finances. Don? Kids. Ron, electronics. Kim, what's a distraction? New job. Okay, Josh. What's a distraction? Females? Amen to that. Can music be a distraction? I'm not saying all music, but certain things. Mm-hmm. What else can be a distraction? We're missing the most important one. Think real hard. Come on, what can be a distraction? We said what? Music? Movies? What else did we say? Money? What else? How about getting you away from the Word? He'll distract you from reading the Word. Do you know what's crazy about that is, I don't care if you're at my church or not, but I've had people that leave this church and will text me, please remove me from the daily devotional. I don't care if you don't come to our church, but why are you refusing the Word? Because I guess because they're not attached to us no more, they think that we're a cult or something. And so they can't have our daily devotional because I don't want nothing to do with Pastor Mike in that church no more. I've actually had people, when they leave our church, please remove me from the daily devotional. It's the Word. If you're a believer, you'd want the Word, right? Come on, somebody. And so some people get distracted by getting away from the Word. And so that is his ultimate strategy, church, is to keep you from the Word. So as I was getting this sermon together this week, bits and pieces came to me all week upon my 100 visits. Seems like it, Ron, but seems like 100 visits, pretty close to it, with phone calls and everything. Look what it says. Read that, Joshua. Boy, that's good. I'm going to give myself a shout on that one. False evidence appearing real. Okay? False, not truth. What's the evidence? How does it appear? And is it real or not? False, that's what he does. He puts fear in you to tell you you're not going to make it. He tells you what you think it looks like, but that's not really what it looks like. Amen? By the grace of God, and I mean the absolute grace of God, I had a very major incident happen 2 weeks ago, Benita, with Benjamin. And I know someone's going to say, I got rid of that dog. There was Sam snapped because there was a lot going on. There were some things going on in my house. And Ben was walking by barking as well. Well, Sam did something called displaced anger. So he got to the closest thing to him, which was Benjamin. By the grace of God, I called Benita. She came over to my house. And literally, Ben was bleeding to death. Took him to the emergency center. His jaw was hanging off. And his ear was hanging off. And he had a punctured vein in his throat. I took him back there. I'm not going to tell how much it costs because you think I'm crazy, but don't worry about it. It's my money. I pay my tithes and I pay my bills. I do what I want with my money. Saved him. I've even had people say, why? He's 13 years old. Because he wasn't ready to go yet. He's prosper now. He's running around jumping and gay. So fear would have told me to give up on him. But I wrapped him up in a blanket or in a towel, got him to the emergency, and his life is saved. And he's getting his stitches out today, and he's almost back to normal. Come on, can we give God praise today? Thank you, Jesus. Strong dog. Fear would have told me just to let him go. But my God's a healer. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't understand. Whether it's a dog, whether it's a loved one, whether it's a cat, I don't know what you love, a hamster. I don't know what it is. But God's a healer. And fear does not have to allow us to not believe what God can do. Satan deals in fear. But the Bible tells us that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and sound body, right? So don't allow this right here, church, to look at what you think is going to happen. In fact, there is a weapon that we have. It's found in Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In other words, when you don't have anything else to do, you got to praise. You have a weapon called your mouth. You can praise him. And it's your mouth. You can yell and scream at your football team. Come on, Denver. You can act crazy for, I don't even want to say the Cowboys because who wants to cheer for them? But anyways. We find it so easy to publicly praise a football team. But we won't act crazy for Jesus. But we have a weapon that we can cast down principalities and powers. Come on, somebody. We can speak over our situation and say we don't have to accept it. Come on, I feel like preaching this morning. We don't have to accept what the enemy is telling us. Come on, somebody. We have the power to triumphant over everything that comes against us in the name of Jesus. We have the power to tread over serpents and scorpions in the power of the name of Jesus. Fear grips us and tells us that we're not going to make it. To this day, I don't know how, I'm down to 25 phone calls and I'm going to have everybody seen. I came back from New York and I had a list that was like this, Elder Ron. But little by little, I kept chipping away. 12, 13, 14 hour days. Don would call me, I wouldn't pick up. Finally, she goes, "What's going on?" I said, "I'm just like strung out." Let me tell you how bad it was. The other night, I was in my office. That's when you were calling me. I didn't pick up. I woke up and I had saliva. I fell asleep in my office doing a note, Ron. You can see the visual? Didn't even answer my phone. I was so tired. But fear, watch this, church. Fear will tell us that we're not going to make it. But the Bible says in Colossians, having spoiled, right, or disarmed, another word for it, principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them, someone say, in it. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have, come on, church, someone say, sin shall not have dominion over you. For what? You are not, someone say not, under the law, but grace. For sin shall have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. Someone say, I'm under grace. Doesn't say don't obey the law. My pastor told me I can go out and speed. Police officer stopped. Why are you speeding? Because my pastor said I'm not under the law. Give me the ticket, amen? What that says is we're not under the law of what man says who we can worship and magnify. And we're not under the law of accepting things that we don't have to accept. We're under grace. What is grace? Excuse me. Grace says that I'll get you through it. The law says you have no choice but to accept it. Come on, somebody. Grace says you can get through it, but law says you have no choice but to accept it. Someone say, I'm not under the law. So I looked this up on dictionary.com. I want to know what the word dominion means. Have you ever looked at the word dominion? I feel like I have a different spirit today, like just a free spirit today. Just feel good. Dominion. To exercise lordship over or to have control over. And I'm going to blow your mind away. Why does the church or Christianity face or fight the world so much? Because whether you want to understand or not, Satan, am I correct, Elder Ron, has dominion over the earth. Oh, I don't believe that. God's in control. No, if you know the scripture, the Bible says Satan, matter of fact, the scripture says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Satan has come down to rule over you. So he has dominion over the earth. I'll prove it to you. God don't create evil, but he allows it. Amen. I'm going to say that again. God himself, and I hope I get a chat or leave a chat on online or a comment, God does not create evil, but he allows evil. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Everything that happens in this world is under the dominion of Satan. He's the prince of the air. Am I correct, Ron? So he has dominion. Watch this, church. Yep. Test versus tempted. Exactly. So you have a choice to make every decision that you choose to make. God gave us a spirit of free will. You can choose to do bad. Okay? Amen? As simple as trying to get some free water. I was at the store yesterday. We were getting groceries, and everything she scanned, I thought she scanned the water on the bottom. I'm ready to roll off. She just forgot. All of a sudden, Josh goes, you didn't get the water. $6. I could have chose, me and Josh could have chose not to remind her of the water. Just to get a $6 thing of water for free. Water and the tea, yeah. So I had to rescan my card for $11. And I kept thinking, if that had been somebody else, they would have given dominion to the enemy, because the enemy would say, oh, you got something free. No, you should have done the right thing. We all have a choice to make the right decisions in those hours of our life. And so sometimes we have to decide to do right. Come and say do right or do wrong. Dominion. So, but do you notice what it says, church? Someone say lordship. You have a choice to see who your Lord is. Your lordship can either be Satan or Jesus. Your lordship can either be laying in bed and grabbing your phone and going online. When you could get dressed, come to 2321 South Beltline Road in Grand Prairie, Suites 130. We'll hopefully have air soon. Or you can decide just to go through the motions, church. I choose, come on somebody. You don't think that your pastor's not tired? I could bring my spreadsheet in here, and matter of fact, I might do that next week. Take it, and I'm gonna put my schedule on the board. And to this day, I still don't know how I get everything done. It's probably because I stay up till 11, 12 o'clock at night doing all this stuff. Okay? But it's because who I choose to serve. I choose to serve him. My dominion is not by Satan. My dominion is by God. I am controlled by God. You can choose, watch this, church, who has dominion over you. Watch this, okay? All right. Read that, Ron. And do not lead us into temptation. I think I'm about to lose my batteries. Can someone replace? There it goes. It's back on. Thank you. I heard it popping. That means the batteries were going out. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, someone say, forever. Okay. Luke 10:19. Read that, Don. All the power over the enemy shall by any means hurt you. What does that mean? Come on, church, what does that mean? Don't have fear. Someone say, Satan has no power over me unless I let him. Satan has no authority over me unless I surrender to him. And the last one, Satan has no control over me unless I give him control over me. If Satan can cause you to lie and doubt and have unbelief, then he's already won. Let me say it again. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, someone say, by his stripes, I am healed. Let me say it again. By his stripes, I am healed. What does that mean? That we are healed by his stripes. That we can believe in healing. Come on, somebody. We can believe in divine healing. We can believe in his faithfulness and his favor. And that's what Jacob thought. That's right. When Jacob wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord, he said, I won't let you go until you bless me, right? Y'all know that story about Jacob? What did he do that night, Ron? What did he do? He wrestled God. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Some of us let go of God too soon before he blesses us. And we need to keep on. And we don't need to give in way to the temptation. See, Joseph knew he had anointing on him. Watch this, church. And Satan himself tried to get rid of Joseph through his brothers. I want you to write this down. I don't know if I put it up there. Maybe I did. Nope, I didn't put it up there, but watch this. Satan desires to get your attention off what is happening so you can believe something that's not really happening. Someone say it's not what it looks like. What caused Peter to sink? Some say he looked down. Someone say it's not normal to walk on water. Faith caused him to step out. Fear caused him to sink. Let me say that again. You can do anything in faith, but once fear comes in, you lose your faith. Fear and faith cannot go hand in hand. They can't walk together. How can two walk unless they agree? You cannot say you have faith in God, but fear something else might happen. You either believe it, someone say you believe it, or you don't. Come on, somebody. That's the biggest challenge in our ministry right now, is getting people to come to believe that God's going to do something, but we're facing, come on, somebody, the convenience of the world. Okay? I think the worst thing that could have happened to small churches like us is when we were shut down, we had to go virtual. And now that we're virtual, folks say, man, I don't need to come to church. I can get it later on. And I got a lot of people at work that I encounter. I saw a lot of people on Friday at this event. And oh, man, Pastor Mike, you had a good word last week. I said, I didn't see you there. Oh, I caught it online. Two reasons why people stay home. First reason is they got other things to do. More important than coming to church. Second, someone say, oh, here he goes. They're not compelled to give. Ooh. Don't get so quiet, Benita. You agree with me, right? Yeah. Oh, wow, I don't have to go to church. It's free. The gospel is free, the building ain't. I thought I'd get an amen on that. Oh, here he goes preaching about money again. I'm not preaching about money. I'm just saying. Y'all go to the movie theater. Watch this. This is my illustration of why people should give to church. It is a form of entertainment. You're getting the gospel, right? You're praising God. It's not entertainment. You know what I mean? So I dare you to let today. Try it, Don. Tell me what happens, okay? I dare you to go to movie 16. Yeah, I would like to see Elvis. Where's your ticket? Oh, I don't have a ticket. You're just going to let me in. No, seriously. Well, ma'am, did you purchase for what? I just want to have a good time. I just want to watch the movie. Oh, I can't get in for free. No, you got to pay to buy to watch the movie. Because you're going to enjoy yourself. Try to do it at the Cowboys game. Come on, somebody. And see, a lot of people think, well, I shouldn't have to pay for the gospel. It's, let me tell you something. You're never paying for the gospel. You're supporting a ministry. And if you want your blessing, that what a man sows, he shall also reap. And if you sow, you'll reap. Okay? I'm going to use the laser on these two right here. Her and him. Okay? God has been faithful to them. God has been faithful to them, right? Because of their faithfulness. But look what it says. This right here said he already took it for us. Okay? We have to understand that Satan will do everything to keep you away from church or ministry or doing his work, God's work, okay? It's all what he wants it to look like, church. Okay? Here's what it says. We have a tendency to believe stuff. Must be that fan. We have a tendency to believe stuff that we see, whether what we don't see. Faith is not seeing it. Faith is believing it in your heart. Write this down. I didn't put it on the board, but write this down. Focus, put in your phone. Focus, hope, faith, and courage. Beside focus, I want you to write this down. Expand your horizon. Not just on what you see, but what you got to see for God, for the future, for you and somebody else. So focus means to expand your horizon. Hope. Next to hope, I want you to write those online, write this down. Hope. Believing God for things you don't have now. Someone say hope. Believing God for things you don't have now. Okay? Next to faith, write faith. All things are possible. Next to faith, write all things are possible. And the final word is courage. Next to courage, write, God can do it. Courage. Y'all remember the lion and the Wizard of Oz? If I could just get some courage. Y'all remember that movie? Pretty good, huh? Yeah, y'all remember that? Remember that? The lion. The lion. I just want to have some courage. Y'all remember that movie? He said, I'm going to see the wizard. Why are you going to go see the wizard? Because I want to have courage. The wizard's going to give me courage. Boy, he didn't realize courage was in him the whole time. He just needed someone to tell him he already has courage. He didn't need a wizard to tell him he had courage. We don't need someone to tell us what God's already, my God, we don't need someone to tell us what God's already put in us. God's already equipped us. He's already given us everything that we need. Why? Because by his stripes, he was wounded for our transgressions, past, present, and future. My God, that's a word, Elder Ron. He was already paid the price for everything you've been through, everything you're going through, and everything you're going to go through. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace has been upon him. And by his stripes, someone say by his stripes, we are healed. My God. Someone say it's not what it looks like. There was a man in the Bible who was 17 years old and stood before Goliath. His name was David. 17-year-old boy stood before Goliath, and they put the helmet on him and the shield and the sword, and they said, I can't fight this giant with what you put on me. And Goliath said, he took all of his stuff off, and David stood before him with the slingshot. And he said, how be it you bring this child with a slingshot to kill me? I'm Goliath. And David said, I come to you in myself and the name of the Lord. And today I will kill you and cut your head off. Goliath laughed. David said, I got you. Twing! Hit him straight in the forehead. Goliath fell over and died. David walked over, took the sword, cut his head off, and said, this was done in the name of the Lord. How does God do that, guys? He does that by the power of God. Quit looking at what you think it is right now and know that God's about to change it. Look at your neighbor. I'm getting to the end. Someone say, quit looking at false evidence. When we were in school, Josh just went and took the ASVAB test for the Army. And at the end, he got a grade. That grade is your report card to see if you're good enough or scored good enough to go into the service. The report card is to see where he's going to score at to do his military occupation skills. When I was in school, before we graduated, we had to have enough credits to graduate, and then you had to have the state certified star test or whatever they call it, in order to graduate. How many of y'all know that before God will promote you, you got to pass the current test that you're in? We cannot allow the report of the enemy to tell us that we're not going to make it. We cannot allow false evidence tell us that we're not going to get through this. We can believe God for bigger and better and greater things in our life and trust in Him. Look at this scripture. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants, someone say his descendants, begging for bread. In other words, God says, I'm not going to leave you without hope. Whatever your situation is this morning, God's got a plan, church. Whatever you're facing those online, God's got a plan. You need to remember this final word. Someone say, God is faithful. And the promises of God are yes and amen. We're at a turning point in our lives. We have to decide if we're going to be real or false. Don't say it can't happen. Say, my God can turn it around. Don't say, this is where I'm at and I'm staying here. Say, God's going to bring me out. Don't say it's over. Say it's the beginning. And finally, don't accept what it is now and believe that God can turn it around. Because God is faithful. Sometimes we forget how faithful He is. And sometimes we forget that He's not a respecter person. What He's done for one, He'll do for another.